Welcome to the New Generation Church Podcast. We're so glad you're here. Whether you're a regular or a first-time listener, we hope today's message fills you with hope and inspiration. NGC is a place where people can come together to grow in their faith, learn from one another, and support each other through life's challenges by living out the Word of God. We believe and share the love of Jesus in everything we do, and we're excited to bring that love to you through our podcast. Let's dive into today's message. We hope you
and closing. Thank you for bringing us out to the house of prayer. For you said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And God, we thank you. We bless you. For all that we've already done and heard, Lord, and seen, Lord, we just say thank you. We can't thank you enough, Lord. This morning, amen. This morning, we are going to be again. The pastor started us off, you all, with studying in our series on I Am. The I Am statements of Jesus are found in the Gospel of John. This morning, I mean, he started off first with I Am the Bread of Life. I Am the Bread of Life, coming from John 6 and 35, 48 and 51. And then after that, week two, I Am the Light of the World. John 8, 12, the 9 and 5. We're so thankful for God for his presence today. We're thankful for his word. He is the bread of life. All man should not live just by just the bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the word of God, mouth of God, the word of God. We need him in order to live and move and have our breath. And then the light, he's the light of the world. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that he's the light. Brought me out of darkness into a marvelous light. The light of Jesus. And we're going to let our little light shine. Let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify not yourself, but our Father, which is in heaven. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Today, we're going to continue to study. This morning, I do know why you were standing, but then we're going to continue our study this morning on the great I Am. This time we will be in chapter 10, where you're going to find two of the great I Am's. First, I am the door. And second, that I am the good shepherd. We're going to see today that these two were placed together because they are strongly connected. And it's so ironic that actually the verse that was read, we're talking about the sheep and the shepherd, it's all coincide with this message this morning. The focus of the verses that we'll be looking at this morning, and that I know that some of you do wish to stand as we read these verses. And that is the focus verses will be 7, 9, and 11, and 14. But we're going to read verses, John, again, the 10th chapter, starting at the 7th verse. And we're going to read all of it. We'll put that up there for us, the 7th through the 14th verses. And the focus verse will be 7, 9, and 11, 14. Let's stand as we stand for the reading of God's words. So Jesus said, it says, to them again. So this means he said it once before. And we'll go back to that on that first verse. It says, he said, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All those who came before me and are just thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. And will go in and out, and he will find pasture. The thief comes only, this is what he comes to do, only to steal and to kill and to destroy. He'll steal your joy. He'll kill your hope, make you feel like you're hopeless. He'll destroy your life. But I came, Jesus said. I came that you may have life and that you may have it abundantly. Some say even more abundant. Are you experiencing the abundant life? I came that you may have it abundantly. He said, I am also here, the 11th verse, I am the good shepherd. And he said, a good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and just hired and just getting paid to do this, he's not a shepherd. Who is not the owner of the sheep, he sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and he flees and the wolf snatches them and he scatters the flock. He flees because he's just a hired hand. And he does not care really about the sheep. But he says, look, I am the good shepherd again. And I know my own. I own them. They belong to me. I know my own. And my own knows me. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Amen. God bless a blessing to us. Let's give God a hand of praise right now. Let's give him a hand of praise for those words. We do need a shepherd, y'all. We need a shepherd. And we're going to talk about that, but we need an under shepherd as well. And we've got one. We got the best. I'll tell you, he's awesome. Man of God. Pastor Etheridge Thomas III. To get an understanding now, I want you to flip a little bit. And you can read this later, though, because I won't, for the sake of time, I won't go back and read all the verses in chapter 9. But I do want to go back there just a little, revisit part of it in chapter 9, because chapter 10 is really just a continuation of Jesus' dialogue with the Pharisees in chapter 9. See, something had happened there, as you start reading, that you'll see that had never happened before. You know, Jesus had been healing, and he'd been performing all kinds of miracles. And actually, the Pharisees were quite jealous of him. You know, I mean, and people will be that way about you. You know, you're just doing a good thing. You're doing the right thing, and the people still hate you for it. And it's something I'm so, hey, well, but he done something really good, and you ought to think they ought to be praising and thanking God, and you know, they're men of God. But anyway, Jesus had healed a man who was born blind, and it says the Pharisees then questioned the man. They start putting pressure on the man and actually saying, you know, who did this to you? And of course, they were trying to get him to say something because they had already made up their mind that anybody who said that Jesus, they were jealous of that he was the Christ and that he was the anointed one, that, hey, we're going to put you out. But despite the pressure, it says that the man, he remained steadfast. Let me tell you this, man, remain steadfast in your faith. Okay, whatever you do, you stay steadfast. Stay right there. Don't let nothing move you and change. You stay right there with God. So he remained steadfast in his testimony that Jesus had done this and that Jesus had cast him out of, and you know, allowed him to be able to see. So Jesus said to the Pharisees in an illustration, and sometimes he always used parables. Sometimes, you know, he used these parables because it was a good way for him to speak to his people. Because they knew, and you'll see this morning, they were very familiar with sheep. And this mentioned we've been talking about sheep. They know about sheep. That's like we're talking about the seed and the sower and all the parables that he used, because people understood. But the Pharisees didn't. So in John 10:1-6, looking at 10, the first one, let's just read 1-6 again, looking at that. It says, that's how it started. He said, truly, there it is. That was the first time he said, truly, truly, surely, surely, I'm telling you. The one who does not enter by the door and into the fold of the sheep, but he climbs up some other way. What did he say? He's a thief. If you come by my house and you see somebody coming through my window, call 911. That's a thief and a robber. All right. But he said, the one who enters by the door, he's the shepherd of the sheep. And to him, he said, the doorkeeper opens. And we're going to talk about that doorkeeper later on in terms of who that is. To him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep listen to his voice. The sheep listens to his voice. Are we listening to his voice? And he calls his own sheep by name. And then he leads them out of the pen. And when he puts all of his own sheep outside. You know, they could go into a place, and they had a place to have all the sheep, particularly at night. And they put them all together there. But that shepherd just walked in there and just simply called the name of his sheep. And they knew his voice. And they will follow him out. And so he will follow him out because they knew his voice. High up a stranger said they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus told these Pharisees this, but you know what? They couldn't figure it out. They didn't know because they were spiritually blind. It's a sad thing. Many of us have eyes, physical eyes, that we can see physically, and some of us can't see that well with these eyes, you know. But the bottom line is that they cannot see spiritually at all because they did not know God. In John 9, Jesus is confronting those false shepherds, these false shepherds of Israel, and at this time they were the Pharisees. For many years, I mean, actually for centuries and centuries, this sheep and shepherds were part of the life of the people of Israel. In fact, we go back, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, you know, they had flocks of sheep and goats. Also, Jacob's 12 sons, all of the Jacob's 12 sons were represent the tribes. All of them were shepherds. Did you know, in Egypt, when they were in Egypt, the Israelites had their flocks of sheep and goats. King David, who I would say is the guru of the shepherds. I mean, the ideal shepherd. You know, he killed lions and bears and tigers and stuff, you know, to protect the sheep. And in the 23rd Psalm, David even wrote, because he felt so much about sheep, and he said, and everything, and that he was a sheep, but about the Lord, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I asked you this morning, who's your shepherd? Who is your shepherd? He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I know my shepherd. I hope you know your. You had the same. And I know my under shepherd, too. I thank God for him. And then he says in Psalm 100, we see that he says, and we are the sheep of his pasture. Are you a sheep of his pasture? That's right. I mean, I'm a sheep of his pasture. So the people of Israel were very familiar with sheep and shepherds, is what we're saying. They themselves, as I said, were referred to and knew that they were sheep, and that the leaders at the time were called the shepherds. But for a long time, you know, shepherds of Israel had been abusive and to the people of God. So much so that the prophet Ezekiel, let's look what Ezekiel had to say. Ezekiel rebuked the shepherds of Israel. Look at Ezekiel, the 34th chapter in verses 1 and 2. You can read all of that, that's just a fair time. But look at that. Ezekiel 34, 1 and 2 says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, prophesy against these shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe unto you. Calamity, I mean, you know, things are going to happen to you because of this. Shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, you've just been feeding yourself. You're telling about my people, you're just feeding yourself. You know. And what we're talking about, he's not talking about the grass and the things that he's talking about. Look, I told you to teach the people. I gave you the word, and you're supposed to continue to teach them the word so that they can pass it on down, but you ain't doing nothing. You've got all these rituals, and you have all these things that you put together, and rules and regulated things that you put, more importantly, than my word. And you telling people lies and all kinds of things, you know, and causing people to stumble. And for woe unto you, and woe unto us, too, if we cause people to stumble. Not make it into the kingdom of God. Woe unto you, he said, for who knows? You're feeding yourselves, you know, you're just getting rich. All you care about is the three big P's, you know, basically, you just prosperity and things of that nature. But he was telling him that you need to be teaching my people, though. Look at verse 10. Go down to verse 10, though, before we move out of Ezekiel. He says, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. Now, you know what? That's one thing you don't want God. You don't want God to be against you. It's one thing, you know, it's a who be, you know, you don't want God to be against you. That's the worst place to be. You know, let them know that basically, they just said the Lord, behold, I'm against the shepherds, and I will demand my sheep from them. I'm not going to let my people hang out and be, you know, stay in situations like this. He don't want us to be, you know, led astray. And I'm not going to let these folks, you know, just stand up and call in my name, talking about you all. Oh, you know, you preaching in my name is what? No, no, no. I'm going to demand my sheep from them, and I'm going to have them cease from feeding my sheep all this stuff. So the shepherds will not feed themselves either. They're just fleecing my flock, and they're just taking all the advantage of me. I'm going to deliver my flock. I'm going to rescue, that's what he's saying, my flock from their mouths. So they will not be feeding them all this stuff. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself, God said, I myself will come down and search for my sheep. Oh, no. And so we see the entire chapter, really, of Ezekiel 34 is really a rebuke of these false shepherds. In John 9 and 10, Jesus is also rebuking the false shepherds of Israel. Who were the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the scribes? These are the people that ought to know the word of God. You know what I mean? They ought to be doing the right thing. But they did not know God. I asked you this morning, do you know him? They didn't know him, and they didn't care about the sheep either. And those are the two requirements, y'all, you must have. If you don't have that, you got to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You need to be putting the pedal to the metal. And loving God with all you got. You got to have both of those. And then the next thing is that you got to love people. You got to love your neighbor. You know, you got to love them. So you got to love them. But they didn't love either one of them. No, they weren't. All they were doing, they just feed themselves, just satisfy themselves with the thing. You know, they were self-righteous, as you may have said. You know, so they, in a way, said they went, the beggar, the blind man had become a beggar, of course. The beggar had been healed. And they put him out of the synagogue. The Pharisees, though, they just wouldn't accept his word about the fact about Jesus healing him and everything. So they interrogated him. They also interrogated his parents. You know, we're going to ask them, we're going to ask the parents about it. Say, wait a minute, this boy, maybe he wasn't blind anyway. Is this your child? You know, and everything, you know, just he's yours. And so the parents said, look, let me tell you something about this. This boy, one thing we can tell you, he is ours. Amen. We know this is our son. And then I tell you something else, and he was born blind. But now as for who did what for him, this man, everything, he is of age. He is of age. He can speak for himself. So you ask him. You see, the parents knew, or they already knew. They were a bit afraid. They knew there was a trick and everything, because they knew that the Pharisees had already decided that if anybody acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ, that he was the Messiah, that he was the anointed one, that they were going to put him out of the church. You're going to put them out. You no longer be a part of the center. So, anyway, they brought the beggar back in after the parents wouldn't act right and wouldn't say what they wanted to say. They brought the beggar back in to interrogate him more, and they just talked about it and said, man, come on now. You must not have been blind. What did this man do? And everything. And finally, the man said, let me tell y'all something. He said, look, all I can tell you is that I once was blind, but now I see. Yeah, I can see now. That's all I can tell you. And I want to tell you that, you know, he's got to be a prophet or some man of God, all I can tell you. You know, and y'all keep asking me all these questions. Y'all want to become one of his disciples too? Now, once he said disciples too, they said, oh, that's it right there. He's one of his. Put him out. So basically, you know, in Ezekiel's prophecy, I told you when he was going to rescue his people. And what he was really saying here was that the prophecy was pointing to Jesus, the son of David. And it was fulfilled with the coming of Jesus himself. Yes, somebody said, we do have false shepherds, have false preachers, false teachers. And we find them in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and we find them today. And whenever and wherever we find them, they have the same characteristics. They all are the same. They don't really know God. And they don't love him, because you see, to know him is to love him. That's right. You just want to, when you know him, you want to love him more. That you love him, you know, oh, how good he is to taste, I'm telling you. It says, you know, they didn't love the Lord, and they didn't love or care about the flock of the people. They only used them, they abused them, and they fleeced the flock. All they cared about was themselves. I'll tell you, you know, that's all they wanted was the power and prestige and glory and money. You know, sounds like prosperity preachers to me. You know, we have them today. In John 10, 1 and 2, Jesus contrasts, though, the shepherd of the sheep. He was contrasting it with one who is a thief and a robber. But the Pharisees didn't understand. They didn't know that he was really referring to them. But that's what they were. They didn't even know. It went right over their head. Jesus often used these illustrations like these, as I said already, for two reasons. One way that he knew that the Pharisees, they wouldn't understand. And he also realized that his sheep, they would understand. You know, shepherding at this time, y'all, I want to tell you, shepherding sheep into Palestine was really hard work. It meant a lot of walking to find green pastures. Don't you remember Abraham and Lot themselves? You know, they went separate ways because there was not enough green pastures for to feed their flocks. Also in Genesis 37, We're not going to read all these for sake of time. Jacob sent Joseph to find his brothers who had been gone for many days, traveling, why? Many miles to find green pastures, you know, for their flock. Shepherds sometimes, they couldn't return back, you know, to come back each night. No, but they still had to protect their sheep. So one of the things they did, they would build a pen sometimes. They're out in there. You know, they would actually build a fenced-in area. And sometimes they took what they could find, rocks and leaves and things to build and put it in all to protect them from the weather and also protect them from, you know, from predators. What they would do actually after they had built, they would actually lay down in front of the door themselves. Let the sheep all in and they lay there. Why? To protect them from all the predators. So that means the lions and tigers and bears, when they came, you know, they put their lives because they own the sheep. And they love those sheep, you know. And but thankfully, in each one of the villages, y'all, there was a common sheepfold, or sheep pen, I would tell you. And basically, this is where the shepherds could keep their sheep at night. A gatekeeper was there also. He was a hired person there to be in the sheepfold during the night. The gatekeeper then would shut the door of the gate in order to guard against animals and thieves and whatever coming in. And it says, I want you to understand here this, that the gatekeeper would not let others come in. Only the shepherd would be to be able to enter. Now, the door, I want you to understand, the legitimate thing, claim was a legitimate claim to Messiahship. The door itself. So we're talking when he says, I am the door of the sheep. Yeah, he's saying here, I am the Messiah. What Jesus was saying here, I am the door making claim to this Messiahship. Right then, there were many pretenders, you know. There were many of them who claimed to be the Messiah. But they didn't have the qualifications. They did not have the qualifications. First of all, they didn't have the qualifications because they didn't have a relationship with God. But Jesus had said, I and the Father are one. You know, I mean, God is my Father. They didn't know him. They didn't know God. And therefore, they didn't have a relationship with him. And secondly, they simply could not stand God's people. They were false messiahs, you see. They could not stand before God and enter through the door. So they tried to climb in another way. Some people think they can fake it till they make it. You won't fake your way into heaven. You're going to fake yourself right on the hill. That's what you're going to do. You're going to fake yourself right on the hill. You don't get to know. No. You know, so you're being counterfeit. You know, I mean, that's just counterfeit. That's what he's saying. That's what they were, basically. They were trying to climb in another way. There's only but one way. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Jesus said, in effect, look, you are just nothing but thieves and robbers, and you have no legitimate claim to the Messiahship. None words. So he said, look, my Father, the Lord God, is the gatekeeper. You want to know who the gatekeeper is? It's my Father God. He is not going to allow wolves and sheep clothing to enter into his kingdom. You can't fake it till you make it. Jesus said, I have entered by the door because I alone am the proper, I have the proper credentials. I have the proper credentials. All the prophets. Look, y'all should know, Pharisees. Y'all studied the books, all five of them. Y'all know the books. You should know who I am. Anybody ought to know. You should know, really. He said, all the prophets of the Old Testament pointed to me. I alone was born of the virgin as prophesied by Isaiah over 700 years ago. I was born in Bethlehem as Micah prophesied over 700 years ago. I am of the tribe of Judah, from which it said, basically, you know, from which the Messiah will become. I am the son of David, and I am the true door of the sheep. This brings me to our first of 5 points that I want to make today. And number one is that Jesus is the only door of the sheep. In the Bible, sheep, I said, was a very common, was a common reference to God's people. And Jesus says that I am the door for the sheep. And just as there's only one way, y'all, into a sheep pen, so there's only one way into the kingdom of God. It's only one way. So listen up. Jesus is saying, listen up. Truly, truly, I am the only entry point to God. I'm the only entry point into heaven. We must acknowledge his lordship. Make him Lord of our life, first and of our life. Make him Lord and surrender ourselves to him, you know, and in order to get into heaven. Since Jesus is the only door, he knows that the rest of them are just fakes. You know, they're just thieves. So all others are claiming to be the door, just thieves and robbers. So Jesus is the only door. He knows his sheep, and they know his voice. They know, and they follow him. He called them by name. It is so wonderful that, oh, I don't know about you, but the Lord called me by my name. He called me by my name. He said, Charlie, I got work for you to do. I was like, that's right. He said, so for whose voice, I asked you this morning, are you listening to? Whose voice? There are many voices out there that are speaking, but whose one are you listening to? Who is your shepherd, as I asked you before, and who are you following? You should follow Jesus. I don't know about you, but I decided to follow Jesus. No turning back either. No turning back. John 9 and 35 and 39. Look at that for a minute. John 9, chapter 35 and further. Let's look at that. They put him out, we know, and said, when Jesus had heard that they had put him out. And see, Jesus went out. There's one that will leave the 99 and go after the one. That's right. And rejoice, and heaven rejoices. And then he said, but he says, upon finding him, look what he said. He said to him, do you believe? Do you? And I asked you this morning, do you believe? Yeah. Acts 16:31 says, what? Believe on the Lord thou Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But then, do you believe in the Son of Man? You know who the Son of Man is. Jesus. He's the Son of Man. He was the Son of God. He was both fully man and fully God. He answered, who is he? And sir, who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking to you right now. And he said, I believe, Lord. Woo, I believe. Hallelujah. Can't you just imagine how happy he was? And the joy, he says, and he worshiped, it says, he worshiped him and he praised him. That brings me to our second point for this morning, and it's entitled, Jesus Provides Salvation for the Sheep. In John 10:9, Jesus says, I am the door, and whoever enters through me will be saved. Not might be saved. Whoever enters through me, I'm the door, will be saved. The invitation is to come into the kingdom of God. And it's open, y'all, to anyone and everyone. Whosoever will, let him come. Just as you are, just come as you are. The invitation is to come this morning. Come into the kingdom of God, y'all. That's what he said. There's no other way, though, he says. You got to enter through Jesus Christ. And he says, some people dispute this, y'all, and some argue it, and some say it's not true, but they say, what about other religions? What about other faith? Well, what about them? What about it? The Bible teaches us that Jesus is the only way. If anyone fights against that, they're fighting against the clear revelation of the Bible and also against the direct words of Jesus Christ himself. Because Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way. I am the way. I'm the way you're supposed to live. I'm the way you're supposed to love. I am the way. I came down to show you how to live and how to love one another. I am the way to heaven. I am the way. I'm the truth. You want to know the truth? Know me. I'm the truth, y'all. And I am the life. I am eternal life. I am the life. I'm the abundant life. I am the way, the truth, and life. He said, and no one comes to the Father except and but by me. So he said that. So the condition, though, is 10:9 says, if anyone enters through me, you've got to decide yourself. He's not going to force you. No, you got to make up your own mind for your own decision. It's your personal decision to enter through Jesus Christ, the door. You got to believe in him as the Christ, the Son of God, who died for our sins and was raised from the dead. Any other way just doesn't line up. Doesn't line up to the word of God. So Jesus is the only one that can save us from our sins. He is the only one. There are many voices speaking, y'all, today, claiming authority to speak for God, but which voice are you listening to? Don't be led astray by these false shepherds and these false pastors and false teachers and false prophets again and false, you know, whatever, cults and all those things. Don't be led astray with those things. That brings me to our third point, and that is that Jesus provides safety for his sheep. In verse 9, Jesus said, I'm the door. And if anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. You will go in, and out. Once you become saved, you know, boy, don't you feel good? I mean, I don't know about you, but ain't nothing about it. I feel safe. You know, I feel secure. I'm at peace now that I've been saved, you know, because I sure don't want to go to that other place. Go to hell. And he's not talking about going in and out of the kingdom of heaven. The answer here, dog, is that in this life, when we accept Jesus Christ, y'all, we've already basically, when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, it's a gift. I mean, he gives us some. He will also, we may go through some trials and tribulation, and we will. But he will find green pasture. Oh, it's going to be hard sometimes. He'll lead us and he'll guide us all, and we'll through the, and find the green pasture. For yea, though I even walk through the valleys and shadows of death, I don't have to fear. Don't have to fear anything or worry about anything. He didn't give me any of the spirit of fear. He didn't give us that. You know, so what a beautiful picture it is that Jesus is the door to salvation. He is the door for our safety and our security and for our provision. He is Jehovah Jireh. Then we look at that fourth, that brings me to our fourth point there. And I'm moving along here. Now, Jesus is the perfect shepherd. He's the perfect shepherd. You see, in verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd, what he says, that lays down his life for his sheep. I told you they would lay before the door. He laid down his life. Jesus identifies himself as the good shepherd. Now, we use this word sometimes good in several ways. Sometimes we speak of something being good. We're thinking about it from a moral sense. You know, but also things can be good from quality sense. You know, basically when we speak of, look at good LeBron James and Kobe Bryant and all of them, we speak of these guys. These were great athletes. They were good athletes. They were good at what they did. Their quality was outstanding. And that's what good. And so that's what we're talking about. Even a good teacher that we're talking about. Basically, they're the best. So when Jesus calls himself the good shepherd, he means that he's the most excellent shepherd. When he says that he's the most capable shepherd. He is what shepherding really is all about. He's the perfect shepherd. The perfect example of what a shepherd should be. And as we look at what he did for us, boy, we can see that he fulfilled his role of being the good shepherd for us and that he laid down his life for us, even though we didn't deserve it. He laid down his life on our behalf, for our sake. He died so that we wouldn't have to die. He died. But one thing I tell you, that he died. Yes, he did. And he stayed dead all night Friday night. All night Saturday, but early Sunday morning, he got up, but not with some power, but with all power in his hand on Easter Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday. I'll tell you, Jesus, I'll tell you, it's all in all. He is the one, y'all. And this leads me then to point number five, and our final point, that is that Jesus knows his sheep. He knows his sheep. Jesus is also the good shepherd because he knows his sheep. Look at verse 14. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own knows me. And I ask you this morning, do you know him? Do you know Jesus? And more importantly, I ask you, does he know you? You need, because I know that when I look and read Matthew 7, 23, that a lot of folk going to be talking, you know, Lord, 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 you know, I mean, I was good and now I should be in here. Everybody that's saying that is crying, Lord, Lord, not going to make it. No, Jesus is going to say, depart from me. You worker of iniquity. You don't want to hear those words, y'all. You don't want to hear that. I mean, I don't understand, like I said, why people just being hypocrites. It just don't make sense to me. Why in the world be a hypocrite and hobo your way to hell? You don't have to do that. It don't make no sense. No. Yes, it just don't make no sense. As Christians, we enjoy a relationship, y'all, with deep trust and intimacy with our Lord and Savior. He knows us, y'all. He knows us as those who've given our life. He's given his life for us. And we know him as our Lord, as our Savior, as our way maker, as our healer. Almighty Jehovah Jireh, our provider. I mean, he's everything. He's our dearest friend. He's all of that and much more. He's everything we need. Yeah. You do remember that illustration we're talking about the sheep pen, though. The sheep knew their shepherd's voice. They knew the voice of the one who loved them, who fed them, who guided them, who cared for them. And because they knew his voice, they followed him wherever he led them. Jesus knows us too, y'all. He knows us. He knows our weaknesses and our strength. He knows our needs. He knows exactly how to take care of us. He knows exactly what we need. He promised to supply those needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. He knows when we're hurting and when we're sad, when we're tempted, when we're scared. He knows our deepest thoughts. He knows our secret failures. He knows what's best for us. He knows everything about us. He also knows who are his sheep. Not everybody, because they're crying, Lord, Lord, is his sheep. He knows who is his sheep and who is not. He knows those who truly believe in him and those who trust in him for salvation. And he knows those who are just playing a game. And he knows those who are true believers in their hearts. You know, it's the heart of the matter. The heart is the matter. And he knows those who are just putting on a sham, who are just simply just hypocrites, you know. But God knows our hearts. He knows his sheep, and the sheep knows him. Not only must we hear the word, though, of God and hear the word of our shepherd, we must obey it, and we got to follow him. You know, faith without works is dead. The bottom line is here, y'all, it's not about us. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him. And it's not all about what we know. It's not about what we, but about who we know and who knows us. Do you know Jesus? I ask you again. Does he know you? The Pharisees knew far more theology than the man that was born blind, but they didn't know Jesus, the true shepherd. John 3:16, a very familiar verse to every one of us. It said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, that whosoever, and I'm the whosoever, whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. God gave his only son, Jesus, and to save us from the flames of hell. Salvation comes only through Jesus Christ alone. A full, abundant life comes only through Jesus Christ alone. Jesus is saying to us, y'all, listen up, y'all. There's only one way that you can enter through me. You got to enter through me. How do we enter? By believing and trusting in him and by putting our faith in him. Life is really empty without Jesus. Only Jesus can lead us into green pastures. Only Jesus can lead us by still waters and through the righteous path for his name. And because he is the door and he is the shepherd. It doesn't mean, like I said, that it's going to be every day going to be like peaches and cream. No, it won't be easy all the time and smooth. Our lives will not be smooth all the time, but once we accept Christ as our Lord and our Savior, and we know that we are saved, our life in heaven is safe and is secure. Yes, Jesus is both the shepherd and he is the door. He doesn't just point us to salvation, y'all. He doesn't just make salvation possible, which he does. He is salvation. Don't let anyone point you into any other direction, to elsewhere. Let us walk confidently into the care of our good shepherd, trusting in his provisions and following his voice, because in him we're saved, sanctified, safe, and secure. Let us pray, y'all. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the revelation of your Son, Jesus, as the door, the only way to salvation, the good shepherd who leads, protects, and guides us. Thank you for being our good shepherd. Lord, apart from you, we can do nothing. We are nothing. Teaching us to listen to your voice above all others. For you are the good shepherd who knows us and calls us by name, who helps us to follow you and surrender our lives to you. In your precious name. Lord, give us the mind to live for you all of our days. I've got a mind to live for Jesus all of my days. I've got a mind to live for Jesus all of my days. Oh, yeah, I know in order to gain eternal life, I've got to give God all of my life. And I've got a mind to live for Jesus all of my days. Mountains get high. Gotta live for Jesus When valleys get low, I gotta live for Jesus. My way gets dark, I gotta live for Jesus. All of my days, oh yeah. Now God has been, He's been so good to me. I like the way He set me free now. And I've got a mind to live for Jesus all of my days. Oh, don't you want to join me and help me live for Jesus? Come right on, join me and help me live for Jesus. Come right on, join me and help me live for Jesus all of my days. Oh, yeah. Now you can't stop me. You might as well join me. You can't stop me. You might as well join me. Cause I've got a mind to live for Jesus all of my days. Oh, somebody here wanna live for Jesus. Somebody right here, I know you wanna live for Jesus. Somebody right here, you want to live for Jesus all of your days, oh yeah. Now God has been, He's been so good to me. One Friday evening, He died on Calvary. And I've got a mind to live for Jesus all of my days. Oh, don't you want to join me and help me live for Jesus? Come right on, join me and help me live for Jesus. Come right on, join me and help me live for Jesus all of my days. Oh, yes. Now you can't stop me. You might as well join me. You can't stop me. You might as well join me. Cause I've got a mind to live for Jesus. Oh, 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 all of my days. The door is open. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Hold on.
Thank you for joining us today here on the New Generation Church Podcast. If you have any questions regarding your faith in Jesus Christ, please visit our website at www.newgc.org/following-Jesus. Be sure to watch on YouTube or subscribe to listen on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. For additional information on New Generation Church, please visit our website at www.newgc.org. If you would like to give to this ministry, please text the word GIVE to 251-278-2225. Again, that number is 251-278-2225. Or you can mail your gift to 1350 Cody Road North, Mobile, Alabama 36608. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you real good, is our prayer.